word.
There we go.
Okay. Today is, you are privileged today to be able to experience for the first time in my 36 years of being a pastor, a sermon that I have never preached before. Now, I never preach sermons twice anyway, but I'm talking about the topic. I have never, ever in my 36 years preached on the millennial reign of Jesus. Now, we've always known it's there, it's coming, but usually when you're talking about second coming issues, we're now on the second coming, we're there, da-da-da-da, we're done, okay, we're now in heaven, we don't have to worry about it. But in this study, I've realized there's a lot more that's going to happen after the tribulation, after the rapture. There's still a whole bunch of stuff that's going to be happening. And so we're going to talk about that today in the service today. So turn, if you will, to Revelation chapter 20, verses 10, verses 1 through 10. I have never seen our society change as much as it has in the last 5 years. I've never seen such turmoil, such changing, such different things happening in our society, except for what has happened these last 5 years. There's one pastor who actually made the comment. He said, the church has expanded, the church has gone forward 14 years into the future in 3 years. And that's one reason why the church is kind of trying to catch its breath a little bit. Whoever thought that 5 years ago that the majority of your meetings would be on this platform on the computer called Zoom? To be honest with you, I didn't even know what Zoom was until about 3 years ago. Whoever thought that kids could stay home from school and be able to get online and to watch their classes online? Whoever thought that church would be the same way? That if you miss a Sunday morning, all you got to do is get on Facebook. And most of the churches are live broadcasting right now. Whoever thought that? Whoever thought that all of this stuff that has been happening, and it's been predicted? Matter of fact, I have some quotes here from some of our futurists that are out there. And there's one individual named Thomas Frey. He said, people are seriously worried. I've been in a number of conversations recently where people were very worried about our coming era of automation, where fewer and fewer jobs will be left for people to do. In a few months, he says, A few months ago, I predicted over 2 billion jobs will disappear by 2030. With technologies like driverless cars, robotic assembly lines, and teacherless schools on the horizon, the handwriting's on the wall, and people are getting nervous. Eric Garland, the CEO, he writes, the JCPenney CEO, Ron Johnson. Y'all remember JCPenney, don't you? Whoever thought that I'd be doing that? You know, remember JCPenney? Remember Sears? Remember Kmart? Ron Johnson wrote, he said, has a bold statement regarding the future of his company, that it plans to move all its inventory into advanced RFID system and obviate the need for human cashiers. Now, the RFID system is a magnet type of system that sends your information to something else by magnet. In other words, your credit card. You tap it. That's the RFID system. Many of you know that your dogs have a chip in it, or animals or even cattle have a chip in it now. That's the RFID system that he's talking about. And he claims that this will mean that the money the company does invest in human beings will go right to better services, a stronger connection with the brain. Number three, life is changing at an ever-increasing pace for the Christian. We can gain our composure in the changing world because we are anchored in both the past and the future. And what he's saying is that, yes, life is changing. Yes, things aren't the way they used to be. Yes, there were once only 3 television channels and now there's 5,000. But we can rest assured of the fact that we know the end of the book. That we know what the Bible said at the beginning and what it says at the end. Now, we've been spending some time in the church, and we've been talking about the second part. We've been talking about the rapture. We've been talking about the tribulation. Today, we're going to talk about the second coming. You know, you actually sing a song at least once a year that is focused on the second coming of Jesus. Does anybody know what that song is? I'll give you a hint. The first word is joy. Joy to the world. Many times we focus on that song as a Christmas song. It actually is not a Christmas song. It is a song that is focused on the second coming of Jesus and Jesus eventually establishing his reign on this earth. Notice what it says. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns, let men their songs employ, while fields and floods and rocks and hills and plains repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. All of this is focused on what? It's focused on the second coming, where sin will be tamped out, where the curse of the ground will be put aside, where the heavens and earth will proclaim his coming. Because think about this. Was there still thistles and thorns at the time of Jesus' first coming? Of course there was. So this song is talked about, is focusing on the second coming. Okay, so the Bible talks about the millennial reign of Jesus after the tribulation period. So what is the millennial reign? The millennial reign is where Jesus will establish a 100-year reign of the saints on earth, the millennium, 1,000 years. I say 100, 1,000 years, before the last trumpet or judgment is called, following the rapture. So what it's saying is, after the rapture, after the tribulation period, there will be 1,000 years where Jesus will come onto this earth and rule the earth. Okay, that's what the Bible says. Now, like in everything, there's different ideas as it relates to this. So we're going to talk about that very briefly. Just as there's a pre-tribulation rapture, a post-tribulation rapture, and a mid-tribulation rapture, the same thing also applies to the millennial reign. When will Jesus come? When will he establish his 1,000-year reign? Well, there's 3 ideas. Pre-millennial raptures, where Christ comes back before the millennium, meaning tribulation period, then the millennium. Got that? So, if you're pre-tribulation raptures, rapture, tribulation, millennium. If you're a mid-tribulation, tribulation 3.5 years, rapture 3.5 years, millennium. If you're a post-tribulation rapturist, tribulation, rapture, millennium. So if you're pre-tribulation, you're essentially saying you go into heaven for 3.5 years, or 7 years, and then you come back with Jesus when he establishes the millennial reign. If you are a post-tribulation rapturist, Jesus comes, the rapture happens, and immediately you take over. the world is taken over with this millennial reign. How many of you are totally confused? It's because we don't talk about it that much. Here's the thing. The rapture happens. The tribulation happens. Then Jesus comes back, according to Revelation chapter 20, and for 1,000 years, Satan will be bound, Satan will be put into an abyss, and the influence of Satan will not be on this earth for 1,000 years. Jesus will be in Jerusalem, and the world government, Jesus' government, will be in Jerusalem. Okay? And the whole world will know it. And the whole world will see it. Okay, so let's go to Revelation chapter 19. Not 20, we're going to 19. By the way, if you want to know what I am, I'm a post-tribulation, pre-millennial, millennialist. So. Another thought here. Even though the evangelical church will say that they're pre-millennial, most of us operate as if we are all millennial. Because an all millennials basically says the book of Revelation is figurative and these are allegories of what Jesus is doing right now. So many times what we do is we say, Jesus is coming back, that's all we need to know, that's all we need to care about, but there's nothing else beyond that. That's all millennials. Okay. Revelation chapter 19 describes Armageddon. And this is what John is saying. He says, I saw the heavens standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider was called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages wars. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one else knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven are following him, riding on a white horse and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword to which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He threads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So who is that? That's Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay. So, what will happen is, when the world's about ready to destruct itself, Jesus comes back, right? And he establishes a 1,000-year peace because he takes Satan and he binds him and he throws him into the abyss, and for 1,000 years, Satan is bound. We have absolutely no idea what that will be like because we have always had the influence of Satan in our lives. But Satan will be bound. Go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. Okay? And it's not. Well, what if I turn it on? That'll help. There we go. Need to wake up. And I saw an angel coming down of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil, or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until 1,000 years were ended. And after that, he must be set free for a short period of time. So Satan will be bound, he'll be thrown into the abyss, and for 1,000 years. A couple of interesting things they bring out here is this. He will keep him from deceiving the nations. Man, oh man, have we been seeing deception in the last 5 years? Well, it's just amazing what I've been watching. Where logic is no longer logic anymore. Where truth is no longer truth. And people are afraid to stand up for the truth because they know their lives will be destroyed. So if you stand up here and you say, you know what? God made male and female. And now you could lose your livelihood if you say that. The deceptions of the nations. I remember I went with my son to Washington, D.C. probably about 10 years ago, 8, 9, 10 years ago. And I remember getting off the train, and we took Amtrak. I remember getting off the train, and as soon as I got off the train, I could feel. I sensed it. I just feel something wasn't right. And I just felt, all I can say is the evil. Why? Because Satan comes and he deceives the nations. And where right is wrong and wrong is right. All right. So for 1,000 years, Satan is bound and Jesus is in charge. Can you imagine a world without Satan? Can you imagine a time without Satan? Sin is tamped down. Now, it's not destroyed. And the reason why I say sin is not destroyed is because humanity will still have the sin nature in it. But imagine a world where loving God and loving others is paramount, where adultery is tamped down, abortion is tamped down, greed is tamped down, lust and anger and bitterness, pride is tamped down, and all this stuff that we hold to now is tamped down. However, according to Arthur Pink, who said, the unregenerated human nature will still remain unchanged. We'll stop doing it, but our hearts are still selfish. Sin will still be present, though much of an outward manifestation will be restrained. Discontent and wickedness will not be eradicated from the hearts of men, but will be kept beneath the surface by the means of the iron rod of Jesus. Multitudes will yield to Christ, nothing but a forged obedience. See, the main thing is we still want to be God of our own lives. We don't like being told what to do. Many of you know I'm part of MServe, and what we do is, you'll see us at the festivals, we're directing traffic, or if there's a bad accident out here, we'll direct traffic, and it's amazing how many times and how many four-letter words are expressed to me when all I'm doing is stopping traffic because there's a bad accident. I was on the last fatal that we had south of Salina here a couple weeks ago. And it was amazing how many people were angry. Because I stopped them and said, you cannot go down 127. There's a fatal accident there. And then, they're angry. Then all of a sudden I said, it's a fatal. And their attitudes changed. The issue was, people do not like to be told what to do. Even if it's for their own good, they don't like to be told what to do. So for 1,000 years, Satan will be bound, and then, and some of the issues, some of the consequences of it is, according to Isaiah, it says people will live longer. Matter of fact, there's a scripture passage that comes right out and says that if a baby dies at 100 years old, they're young. Okay? Disease and deformity will be dampened. The animal kingdom will be at peace. And the Bible even says that the desert will start to blossom like a flower. See, things will be sort of put back into perspective once again. And then, Jesus will return with the saints. Verse 4. Verse 4, here we go. I saw the thrones which were seated, those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus. And because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So it's saying that those who have been slain, the Christians, will come to life, and what will we be doing? We will be judging. What exactly? I don't know. What exactly what we'll be doing? I don't know, but it says we will be given the authority to judge. So Christ will return with the saints, and for 1,000 years we will reign. Now, will children be born during that time? Yes, because the Bible says so. But after 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed. Well, let's go further. See you later. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. The rest of the dead are those who did not follow Christ. This is the first resurrection. Verse 6. Blessed and holy are those who shared the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years is over, Satan will be released from his prison. For a short time, by the way. And will go out, and what will he do to the nations again? He'll deceive them again. And the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and will gather them for battle. And in that number, they will be like the sands of the seashore. And they march across the breadth of the earth and surround the camp of God's people and the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. So when we think all is lost, it's not. God is still in control. Even though they had surrounded the people of God, the nations, God is still in control. Because what did God do? He came and he delivered them. And the devil who had been deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire, burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown, and they will be tormented day and night forever. Okay, so what is he saying? After 1,000 years, Satan will be released. Why? There's a lot of things in Scripture I don't understand. But why? Why loose the guy? Okay, here's my opinion. To remind humanity of the pain of sin. I mean, when you raise these 1,000 years of generations, and the people don't understand the pain of sin. The consequences of sin have been taken away. You got that? Okay. Hear me, parents. You're gonna hear me on this one. It is vitally important that you let your kids fall. It is vitally important that when your kids make a mistake, they face the consequences thereof. And I know it's hard because you want to take it away from them. But as you know, I was the chaplain of the Hancock County Jail. I saw over and over and over again when individuals, their consequences were taken away, and then eventually they ended up having harsher consequences. I have a person that I know of right now whose parents took away his consequences of what he was doing all his whole life until he was 32 years old. Now he has 25 years in jail. And I knew it was coming. Because when you take away the consequences, it all it produces is more bad behavior. And so all this time, you see that the humanity didn't quite have the consequence because they weren't involved with the sin. So let's show you what sin is like. Let me show you what you could have had. Now, no, I'm not commenting on the student loan forgiveness. Aaron, are you in here? He's not. Aaron had the best one. Facebook is so funny sometimes. It's filled with a lot of garbage, but it's funny sometimes. Aaron, I think, had the best meme on Facebook. He says, my farm loan is now identified as a student loan, therefore it is to be forgiven. And I was dying on the floor laughing when Aaron said that. I thought that was great. Irresponsibility always becomes someone else's responsibility. Irresponsibility left unchecked will always produce more irresponsibility. That's the fact of life. And so I think that's what was going on here. I think God is saying, listen, let me show you what sin does. Let me show you what the pain of sin is. I'm going to lose Satan for a little bit. The next one is to expose the true hearts of individuals. To expose the true hearts of individuals. As he said, they did not, the sin nature is still in the hearts. And, you know, if there was no restraint, if there was no government, if there was no police, if there was no, I can guarantee what would happen. You'd see mass chaos. But it is to expose the hearts of the individuals. And so now, Satan is loosed, he's taken, 1,000 years, he is loosed for a short period of time, he's taken, and he's thrown into the lake of fire where he will never, ever, ever bother us ever again. Now you think we're done. We're not. There's three more things that have to happen. The great white throne judgment. Everyone will stand in front of God. Everyone will have to get... And this one's based upon if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life or not. Not based upon what you've done. Are you a Christian? Boom. The parable of the sheep and the goats explains this. Those who follow Christ, over here. Those who did not follow Christ, over here. There will be a lot more over here than there will be over here. There's two judgments you will go through. One is based upon what you did or did not do on this earth. This is called a Bema judgment. This will be based upon the rewards that you will receive. And then you have the great white throne judgment. And that will be based upon, are you a Christian? What have you done with Jesus? Then the earth will be destroyed. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. The earth and the universe will be destroyed with fire. And then, the next verse, it talks about it being restored. So you'll have this cleansing fire, and then it'll be restored. Then, you ready? You ready? Then it is finished. As I understand it, as I read Scripture, it's done. The book is closed. Eternity without Satan. The earth is remade. Everything is back to the Eden type of desire that God had originally planned. And we will be with Jesus forever. It's done. It's done. So let me give you a real quick outline to where I think things are going to happen. We have our present age. You have the tribulation rapture time. If you're pre-tribulation, then if you're pre-tribulation, it'll be rapture, tribulation. If you're post-tribulation, it'll be tribulation, rapture. Got that? 1,000-year reign. Did I do that right? I forgot one. Let me back up. Tribulation, rapture time, Bema judgment, 1,000-year reign. Okay? Satan will be is bound. Then Satan is loosed. Then Satan is thrown into the lake of fire. Then comes the great white throne judgment. Then the earth is destroyed. Then the earth is remade. Did I say it? I hope I got that right. See how confusing it is? But it all boils down to this one question. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's the key. That's the key. There's a little girl We had been listening to her mother's friends that were talking about how Jesus was going to come back soon. After a period of time, the child's mother noticed that she hadn't seen her little girl in a while, so her mother went looking for her. She finally found her on the top floor of the house looking out the window. She asked her daughter what she was doing. She said, "Mommy, I heard you say that Jesus might come back today. And I wanted to be the first to see him." Live a life of expectancy. Live a life as if tomorrow you're going to see Jesus. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another." And Father, we thank you for what your word has taught us. Let us live a life of expectancy, waiting for the day when the trumpets shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we will reign with Jesus. Help us to look forward and help us to be ready. And Lord, maybe there's somebody here that does not know you. May today be the day that they give their life totally to you, that their lives and their names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. May it be so, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The elders will be up here to pray for anyone for any reason. Maybe there's somebody here that does not know Jesus. Let today be the day which they give, you give your life totally to him. Not just a head knowledge, but a heart, a pure expectation, a pure love. Feel free to come forward and pray with the elders today.
You'll stand with